Welcome to the Ask Brian Podcast Radio Show, where you'll hear from some of the most successful founders and CEOs of businesses and startups, sharing their best advice for success and even some stories on how their mistakes actually make them even more successful. Now, here are your hosts, Brian and Tracy.
Welcome, welcome, welcome. You're listening to the Ask Brian Radio Show on KHTS 1220 and 98.1 FM.
Well, we've been doing this for over 7 years, and every week we try to bring in somebody that can either A, help business owners learn something, or sometimes we have somebody who has a great story, someone who has created a business from scratch, who is what we call a unicorn, something along those lines. Today, we have a very, very special guest. We're going to be getting to him shortly. But everybody wants to know why the show is called Ask Brian, A-S-K-B-R-I-E, and especially since my name is Peter, why do we use Brian with an E? Because everybody knows that Brian is spelled B-R-I-A-N or B-R-Y-A-N. Nobody spells Brian B-R-I-A-N unless they're from Ireland and they're going down to the Irish pub and their last name was O'Brien. Anyway, Tracy, you there?
I'm here, man. You love a pub. You just love a pub. You just like to work it in any way you can.
St. Patty's Day is one of my favorites.
This says to be broadcast live from O'Brien's. Anywhere in the world, it would be fine. One on every corner.
We're trying.
Oh, my goodness. Well, we have such a great guest today that I kind of want to fly through the E's so that we can get to our exceptional guest. So let's start, though, speaking of exceptional, let's start with our engineer, Dan.
Thank you, Tracy.
You're so welcome. We just couldn't do the show without you. We could do the show without Peter. We just couldn't do the show without you. Let's be really clear.
Well, just wait till AI comes aboard.
We've tried, yeah.
And the other E is all about our experts. It's not the only other E, but it is the probably next to the engineer, the most important E. And our experts that we showcase on the Ask Brian Radio Show are just nothing short of fantastic. And we have been talking about this formula for a while, but if you're new to Ask Brian, we know that to be an expert, you have to invest at least a minimum of 10,000 hours in your business category or industry niche. And doing so typically rolls out into 40 hours a week, 50, 52 weeks a year if you don't take a break, and that's going to take you about 5 years. But Peter, you and I both know, and all of our guests have verified that if you're going to do a startup, you're not going to be working 40 hours a week anyway. So we shortcut that down to about 3 years, but really most of our experts, you know, 10x that in a lot of ways. So all of that to be said, that's because the Ask Brian Radio Show focuses on education, and we want you, our listeners, to be able to learn from all of the mistakes that we have made and our guests have made, and shortcut that learning curve so that you can be excellent at what you do. And for that, we are very enthusiastic around here, especially today.
We are excited!
And our eardrums have been busted. So,
it's nice, though, when he's not on the mic. It's much better.
Yes, I know. I know that there is such an E as eardrum. I just don't have any left after doing the show for so many years. Okay, so I am enthusiastic and excited about our guest, but I do also show empathy for him having to sit through all of these E's. So why don't we just talk about my family and let's get on with it.
If you were truly empathetic, you would have warned him about excited.
I couldn't get a word in edgewise before we came on the show. I tried. Edgewise is another E. And I've really brought out the southern twang for that one, too, by the way. I heard it in my own self.
Absolutely. Well, because this is Tracy's, we will go over this. So everybody remembers the movie, and it was called Grease. and I had an emphasis on a portion of the show that was called Grease Lightning Is, what is that, Tracy?
Electrifying, and so are we. Woohoo!
Woohoo! All right. Now, if our guest hasn't said, what did I get myself into? I'm going to have to call up my publicist and get out of here. But anyway, John, are you still there?
I am indeed. I am indeed. And you are having way too much fun.
Not possible. Not possible.
Never possible. Never possible.
Never possible. Before we introduce you exactly what your current role is, we want to get a little bit of a background. So if you can give us a little bit of a background, you know, we don't need to go all the way back to, you know, when you're in kindergarten, but we would like to go over a little bit more about your business background since you started your career. Give us some ideas where you were, kind of like a resume concept of where you are and what you got to now, and then we can kind of really get into where you are.
Yeah, well, first of all, thank you for having me. It's great to be here. I love how much fun you're having. I love the fact that you never met a pub crawl that you didn't like, so that's pretty cool. Never give up a good Irish pub crawl, right?
Absolutely.
They're small businesses, after all. Come on, these are small businesses.
That's true.
But it's great to be here. I'm John Kabatek. I am the California State Director of the National Federation of Independent Business. We serve as the largest and the leading small business advocacy group, not just here in California, but nationally. But before I get to that, just a quick background. I will not go back to my days as a Cub Scout, I promise.
Too controversial anyway. Go ahead.
Yeah, that could really get into trouble. We are born and raised in Glendale in Southern California and went to high school and school there, a USC graduate, I will say, fight on, and for those Trojans out there. And then did a couple internships in Washington, D.C. after college, including one with my congressman at the time back in the early 90s. And that kind of translated to the opportunity to get involved with a campaign for governor. Pete Wilson was running for governor in 1990, and I got involved with that and liked him, liked the people, liked the cause of hopefully a better California. Long story short, I ended up working within his administration up in Sacramento for the full 2 terms. And then in and out of the Capitol in different roles. I had a chance to serve as a lobbyist with the California Restaurant Association because I absolutely love to eat food. Was worked in the Capitol in some legislative roles. And then also returned, because I'm a glutton for punishment in the state capitol, I returned to serve as Director of External Affairs with Governor Schwarzenegger for about 3 years, which totally different governor and experience, but great. And then for a number of years back in, years ago, I was asked to be the state director of the National Federation of Independent Business, a small business lobbying group. Had served in that role for a number of years. And then I started my own company called Kabatek Strategies about 8 years ago in 2015. And our company is largely focused on building coalitions, building the right people around issues that are important to business, small business especially. But I was asked to come back at NFIB in a role also to continue to wear the hat as the NFIB state director. So blessed to work with business, blessed to hopefully work with, you know, have the chance to work with Main Street operators. And gosh, especially now, Lord knows they need a voice. So I'm glad that I'm able to work with NFIB, which gives them that voice. Hope I didn't put you asleep.
Not at all. So first of all, not all of our viewers are familiar with what the NFIB does. So if you can go a little bit of background, obviously they have some goals and policy goals of trying to, I guess, pass legislation that helps them. Is that what they try to do?
Yeah, you know, it's really cool. We are a California-born organization, about 81 years young, by a guy who actually was a member back in 1943 with the U.S. Chamber of Commerce. And he, at the time, you know, he's down in the South San Francisco area. He owned a little machine shop. But back at the time, he didn't feel, even back then, that the U.S. Chamber was always advocating for solely his small business. I mean, they are a great organization. These groups are great. But they are at a crossroads when it comes to representing an issue that could affect small business or big business. And small businesses are impacted in a very adversely different way, usually. So he started the NFIB, like a small business entrepreneur. He started as a small club in South San Francisco. Today, we have a presence in every single state capital, headquarters in Washington, D.C., and we represent small businesses' voice. We are literally, our mantra is, we are the voice of small business at the state and federal level. And I kind of call it the three C's, if you will. There are three C's that we represent small business owners in the capitals, in the state capitals, and in Washington. On the campaign, certainly making sure we advocate for more pro-small business candidates and issues. And the third is the courts. We are very fiercely involved with the courts and making sure that we are, whether it's filing an amicus brief or engaging around a particular issue at the state or local level, we have that voice, that we have a legal center that fiercely advocates. In fact, we were the legal organization that sued Obamacare when that came forth, because small business owners said, I don't know how to afford this, and NFIB, what are you going to do about it? So we're in the history books as the lead plaintiff challenging the Affordable Care Act, because at the time, and as we find many ways now, there's a lot of it that just doesn't pan out for Main Street.
So what are the three major things that you are currently working on? It could be legislation, but it also could be something else. What are the three major or top goals that NFIB is currently working on?
Yeah, that's a great question. Well, I'd probably say at the federal level, when you're talking about the halls of Congress, we have for a number of years been advocating for the extension of what is called the Main Street Tax Certainty Act. That's a mouthful. But what it actually has provided is the jobs and bill that was passed many years ago by Congress allowed for a 20% deduction in expenses for small business owners that are considered pass-throughs, you know, S corporations and such. And yet that is looking to expire in 2025. There was a time limit on that. So this particular bill would allow to make that 20% tax deduction permanent. And I got to tell you, if this doesn't happen, and we're advocating fiercely for it, when 2025 comes, small business owners, especially those pass-throughs, are going to experience a 20% tax increase. So this is a chance for them to deduct taxes on expenses up to 20%. And, you know, for example, my business, my Cabotec Strategy business, is an S-Corp, and that will be, if that doesn't continue, that's going to be a 20% tax hike for me, but for so many others that are struggling out there. So at the federal level, extending that Main Street Tax Certainty Act, critically important, and I would think every small business owner out there that qualifies should be concerned about that and should voice with their members of Congress about keeping that going forever. At the state level, I will tell you, we are really, you know, you're looking here in California, we are based in Sacramento and in every state capital. I think what we're right now really looking to do is make sure that small business owners are safe, sound, and can thrive. And I think the big issue right now that we're focusing on, and we're fortunate to see both Democrats and Republicans focusing on, is retail theft and these property crimes. I'll tell you that for a couple of years, now, to be very candid, the legislature absolutely ignored and did not pass one single bill over the past 2 years addressing retail theft. Let me remind you, bills that were authored by Democrats and Republicans, bills that both held the criminals accountable, but also provided for diversion programs as a pathway to rehabilitation. Fortunately, we've seen kind of a wake-up call, both with some legislation, and we're also seeing a ballot measure that is looking like it will qualify, that will finally address Prop 47, which has been a big problem and unintended consequences. So I'd say at the state level, there's a lot of issues, obviously, taxes, regulations. But right now, the elephant in the room really is addressing and fixing retail theft. I think we're seeing some hope and promise there. And then the third that you asked is getting more pro-small business candidates elected. I will just tell you, as we talk to politicians at every level, local, state, and federal, talk is cheap. They will pat a small business owner on the back, tell them that they are the backbone of the economy, and then ironically, they won't show any backbone when it comes to fighting for them when they're elected to office. And they'll either give in to big business or labor or other extremist special interests. So getting more pro-small business candidates elected is incredibly important. And so NFIB is very deeply involved in the Main Street Tax Certainty Act, helping to fight retail theft and really address that. And then just really working with our members, as you'll see in the months ahead, to get more small business friendly candidates elected who will walk the talk.
So you mentioned the state resolution. Again, I think you mentioned Proposition 47. I don't know if it's that or a different proposition. But try to explain to people what that is and what it does for businesses.
Sure. You know, as I often say in politics, the road to you-know-where is paved with good intentions, right? We find that probably, you probably find that in the law. We probably find that in any level of what we practice. In 2014, California voters probably had the best intentions by supporting Proposition 47. And what it did in large part was it raised the threshold of what the property could be deemed a value to be deemed theft, a actual felony crime, from $450 up to $950. I think that the idea at the time was they were looking at a lot of incarcerations and our institutions being full of criminals and trying to thin that out at the time. But what happened was with voters approving that, by raising that amount just from $450 to $950, just with $500 increase, it has given so many criminals the ability to thumb their nose at the law. It's made it next to impossible for local district attorneys and local law enforcement to charge these individuals or to have the personnel to do so. So we have seen just in the first year that Prop 14 passed, the Public Policy Institute of California, which is nonpartisan, noted that they found that crime, retail crimes, were increasing by about 9%. And now we just found just in 2023 alone, property crimes in Los Angeles County increased by 81%. A lot of folks are attributing that to Prop 47. So what we're looking at this cycle is enough, fortunately, enough people on both sides of the aisle have said enough is enough. We need to address Prop 47. We need to fix the retail crime problem. And so there have been enough signatures gathered that are now being counted by the Secretary of State. It should qualify by mid-June. And what it will do is it will basically allow for more accountability when it comes to retail crimes, that after, you know, it will deem that third retail crime a felony and that there will be more punishment and accountability in the court. It will actually address the fentanyl crisis, which is tied into a lot of our crimes, by classifying it as a hard drug, just like cocaine and heroin and meth are. And then finally, it will provide for a pathway for rehabilitation. It will actually allow criminals that do that are caught with involved with retail theft or fentanyl crimes to follow a court-initiated pathway for, you know, a rehabilitation. And if they do so, that their crimes will be expunged. So it isn't just throw away the key. It is give these people a pathway if they follow that they will actually be able to have their case expunged. But absolutely, it has done what has not been done for too many years, and it's hold these criminals accountable. Criminals, by the way, that, yes, while they are breaking into a lot of our Walmarts and CVS stores, the more commonplace, more vulnerable crimes are those of these small businesses that just can't defend themselves. So it's a good thing. And then on top of that, the legislature has got at least, I think, 25 or 30 bills looking at a more accountability and through legislation. So we'll hopefully see some fixes this year. Before New Year's Eve rings the bell or the ball drops, we will see, I think, hopefully some good things here.
You've provided us so much valuable information in the show so far, but I would like to dig a little bit deeper into the organization and talk about how people can join, how they can be involved, what are the benefits, and just really inspire some people to get on board with this.
Yeah, it's really cool. You know, I think what's great about NFIB is, again, we are that only small business organization, really the only group that really advocates for small business owners. And of course, there's 4.1 million in California that employ upwards of 7.5 million men and women. And a lot of them out there just feel alone. They feel like there's nobody advocating for them. Well, with NFIB, we are that entity, that organization, as one member had said to me, where you can now feel like you are not alone. You have a support group. You have an entity that's there to help you and fellow peers on Main Street to work with and network with. So there's a number of things we do. As I mentioned, you know, we certainly advocate. We certainly make sure we're that voice for small business at the state and federal level, in the capitals, in the courts, and on the campaign trail, the three C's. But there's a lot of other reasons that somebody would want to join NFIB. I think that's a big one. I heard from a machine shop owner in Simi Valley who said, you know what, I'm too busy running my machine shop here. I can't be in those capitals. Just make sure you're fighting for me and that I have a voice. So we're that voice for them, for sure, to make sure that they're represented right and well. But we offer networking opportunities. We do local meetings. We offer great local meetings in different regions of the state and nation. We're going to be doing in June of this year, we're going to be doing a fly-in with a lot of small business owners from around the country, including here in California, to Washington, D.C., to really take the hill, go meet with members of Congress, go meet with each other, and get their voices heard on Capitol Hill. And then right back here at home, we're going to be doing things to allow them to network here in Sacramento and online. So really that networking where small business owners can get to know each other, share their stories, do business with each other, which is really cool. We're finding more of them are in NFIB are finding that business-to-business relationship. And then in addition to that, education. You know, small business owners who are either making cookies or working in an auto shop or on a farm, they're too busy to know and have to comply with all the heaps of paperwork. And I'm sure, you know, Tracy, you talk about a lot of the paperwork and things small business owners need to know. They're too busy running their own business. So we offer great webinars, legal workshops, information online with our NFIB.com. We actually recently just did one. There's a new law effective July 1st that actually is requiring every single small business owner to develop a workplace violence plan for their business, or they will be facing consequences and fines and penalties. We did a webinar with some great attorney partners of ours from Fisher Phillips that actually talked to them and instructed them on how to put together their workplace violence plan before or by July 1st. So webinars like that that are just huge. And then member benefits, you know, saving some money. You know, small business owners are spending too much on too much. So we offer discounts at NFIB on everything from, you know, FedEx shipping to, you know, Dell Computers and Technology, a company called Heartland that provides credit card processing, all at a reduced rate that as a member, you are getting a reduced rate and saving some bucks. And then finally, we actually survey our members. The best thing that I think we do, as I said, is we ask our members, what do you need? What do you want? Where do we need to be for you? So they have that voice. And then finally, we do what we call a small business economic trends report that we survey our members and ask them on different issues. For example, most recently, we found that inflation continues to be the number one issue hurting small business owners. 40% of our small business owners across the nation said they're having trouble filling jobs, and 26% said they're going to have to increase prices in the next month or two. But the best thing is we're that voice for them at the state and federal level. We offer incredible networking opportunities both locally and in Washington and in Sacramento. We give them great workplace education, webinars, and information to make them compliant. And finally, we just give them benefits to help save them some dollars. And we're that small business voice, and they need that voice now, I think, especially coming out of COVID more than ever.
Yeah, I could not agree more. And I wanted to really bring up to everyone that the NFIB.com website has so much information on it. I mean, just the website alone is such a wealth of resources. Can you talk a little bit about like the resources and the tools that people can find on there? I know you mentioned the webinars, but it looks like there's so many other great things on the website.
Oh, yeah. It's a really great website and great resources. You know, we encourage everybody to join NFIB because the benefits are that just that much more of a multitude of things that you get. But even just by going to our website, anybody going to our website alone gets information on advocacy, understanding election. You know, there's a ton of research that's made available to members and non-members. But I think, you know, one of the cool things that I think people also need to know is we have a legal center in Washington, D.C. Again, they're not just the group, Tracy, and you guys that really just, you know, files amicus briefs or gets involved. We actually have a legal center that allows people to make phone calls and email us and ask legal questions. And we got legal experts for members to ask about how do I comply with this law or how do I deal with this issue? And, you know, if you think about what a lawyer can charge you, it can be through the roof, just legal fees alone for a small business. Big businesses can absorb those costs, but we've got a great legal team that can do a lot to help be a resource for small business owners. And then finally, like I said, we just have all kinds of great webinars and information on all kinds of issues. The national one is called The Rundown and all kinds of issues. And then on federal legislative issues, legal issues, hiring people. And here in California, we're doing webinars as well. So just a ton of stuff if you go to NFIB.com. And the most important thing is there's a way to join NFIB in the upper right-hand corner. So we encourage every small business owner to press that green button. It's not cost prohibitive. A few dollars is going to save you a lot more in the long run. And most importantly, give you a home, a place, like we said, that you feel you are not alone there on Main Street. You've got a place to go.
Yeah, love that. Well, sounds like Peter is back in the building.
Hey. I never left. I heard every word you said. So now,
now
I can't see how my back. All right, so.
Well, I just thought that I had pushed the envelope 1 centimeter too far, and you were like, I'm out of here.
It was
especially just envelope is another E. All right, so, Tracy, you said there were more questions you wanted to ask John, and go ahead.
Yeah, so I have one more specific question around the NFIB that I'm hoping you can answer, and that's around how do you or do you have alliances with other industry trade organizations? Like, for example, I'm the co-founder of the Podcast Professionals Association, where we serve podcast service professionals that are helping work with podcasters and get podcasts out into the world. But the association is the industry trade organization for podcast service professionals. So they're all typically entrepreneurs, freelancers, owning their own business or side business. So I'm curious, like, do you align with other industry type trade organizations in a partnership way or information resource sharing way? How does that work?
Very good question. And the answer is a resounding yes. In fact, we realize out there in this world, especially with what we deal with, what small business owners deal with, that we need to be binding together as business groups. So we have, I remember talking to a gentleman in Northern California, a member of ours who was facing taxes, regulations, lawsuits. And I looked at him and I said to him, sir, with everything you've been facing, it must be like swimming upstream. And he grabbed me by the arm and he said, son, swimming upstream in peanut butter. And I said, okay. I said, I see that visual. But it is true. It's a classic example of, I think, what small business owners are facing. It's a very difficult swim upstream. So we do. We have a great chance here in California and nationally. We work with other groups, collaborate with other groups, including chambers, including other groups. A lot of our partners tend to be really good, a lot of the ethnic chambers and other organizations, the California Hispanic Chambers of Commerce, the California Asian Chamber of Commerce, in Southern California, Los Angeles County Business Federate, great organization, and the Los Angeles Area Chamber. You know, we have the Valley Industry Association over there in the Santa Clarita Valley and others. We build great alliances because we realize we need to be bound together. But what makes NFIB very unique is that we are that one organization that really does speak for the small and independent business owners. But we also realize every job creator out there needs to bind together, because when we're facing that big upstream peanut butter swim of labor unions that have flexed muscle for too long, extremists on the environmental side, not ones that want to do things for justice and for the right, but have taken it so over the top that small business owners get left out in the cold. And so we as job creators are uniting much more together with ethnic groups, ethnic business chambers, smaller chambers locally, and then statewide and national groups. We realize we can't and we shouldn't fight this alone, and we need to get our voices out there as a united front, even though we may be different at times.
I'm really enthusiastic and really applauding all the effort and passion that you are putting into this organization. And it clearly comes from a place of yourself being a passionate entrepreneur. What is your favorite thing about being an entrepreneur and supporting entrepreneurs?
You know, I think what I love when it comes to being, kind of an entrepreneur and building things is collaborating, is helping to do some good things, some philanthropic and things that really are for the greater good in the community. You know, it's one thing to make a quick buck, but when you know that, you can wake up in the morning and work to help build our coalition, like Cabotec Strategies does, with business groups and veterans and seniors around issues that matter, helping to give them more hope, lower taxes, more hope, more pathway for promise. That, to me, really fires me up, because anybody go out there and make a quick buck if they work hard enough. But it's when you can do that and you can actually help your community and give back. And that's what fires us up at Cabotec Strategy, but also at NFIB.
Tracy had a little bit more information to get, and then you're going to be right back with me.
Well, I just know for a fact, because I've already off the mic asked how to get in touch with you, because I have some really specific questions. I can't wait to continue this conversation with you directly after the show, but I know I'm not alone. There are so many listeners out there who are just excited to learn more, not only about the NFIB, but your passion for entrepreneurship. So what would be the best way for them to get in touch with you? And if they do, can they get like some secret handshake promotional discount or anything? Because we're all small business owners trying to find our way.
Yes. Well, first of all, it's been a joy. I love, this is even more fun than a pub crawl in Ireland. I'll tell you that right
now. I don't think Peter would agree with you, but...
Well, Peter, maybe you got a
problem. I'm going to be dragging John out. We're going pub hunting next week.
Fair enough. Hey, it's been a joy, and thank you. I so enjoy it and would love to keep the conversation going with you, Tracy, and your listeners in the future if there's that opportunity. Yes, anybody who's interested, we'd love that have people who are interested, who are a small business owner, know a small business owner, thinking about being a small business owner. First of all, you can go to our website at nfib.com, and there is a California page. You can find out about that. You're certainly welcome to join online. But I also give my email address, which is John, J-O-H-N, at Cabstrat, so that's K-A-B as in boy, S-T-R-A-T.com, john@cabstrat.com. And any listeners that email me directly, I'll see to it that we put you in touch with one of our great field sales representatives and work to make sure we get you in at a very, very good introductory rate, for sure. But contact me directly, reference this show, and we'll make sure that we can get you on board as a small business owner. Because you're right, Tracy, you know, people have very few small business dollars these days, but we want to make sure that those matter. So send me an email. We'll make sure we get you involved. But most importantly, like somebody said, the more we are a big small business organization, the more we can be effective. We represent about 14,000 in California, but with 4.1 million, we have a chance to really grow and really be that army of Main Street advocates and voices out there that we should be. So thank you so much. Appreciate being on the show. It's been a lot of fun.
You all heard it here first, and if you want to hear it again, that's why we have the Ask Brian podcast, and of course, that's A-S-K-B-R-I-E-N, the podcast, and so you will be able to download and go back and listen to this episode and our back catalog of episodes and be able to get in touch with John and learn even more about the NFIB, which I think is just incredibly exciting. So thank you so much, and Peter, take it away.
Thank you. So, John, question for you. Is there a maximum revenue amount or something? Because I know that you said you're not as big and broad as a chamber and you're trying to stretch on the independent owners, et cetera. So is there a criteria for whether or not somebody can be admitted, or can anybody be admitted?
Really good question. You know, basically the way that we're designed is that we welcome any small business owner that, you know, is privately held and has a business license, of course, and is a legitimately licensed business in California or the nation. I think the only criteria that we say when it comes to our organization is if your business is publicly traded, then probably not the place for you, and legally we probably can't be. As somebody told me, if you can take your company to your stockbroker, good on you, mate. Good on you. But we're probably not the place for you. But other than that, any privately held independent small business owner is welcome and has a home at NFIB. And we base our dues on number of employees. But again, we'll make sure that that introductory rate for anybody who contacts us is a good one, a fair one, and a one that they can deal with. And then we just max out. The other thing a lot of organizations do is that they will just, people feel that there's a pay to play with memberships. We have a maximum amount that a small business owner can pay so that nobody feels like the certain members have special ins and preferences. Every small business owner matters, and we make sure of that from day one.
So what was the biggest challenge that you faced with the organization?
Biggest challenge we faced with our organization at NFIB, great question. You know, I would probably say that the biggest challenge that we continue to face in the capital these past couple of years has been that retail theft issue. I think because we have been getting so many calls from small business owners that have felt victimized, have felt that, you know, these criminals, these shoplifters come in, they take their items, They thumb their nose at them. They thumb their nose at the law. And there's not a lot of law enforcement on the streets because we need them to be more funded and supported out there. They are wonderful, but I think they feel that they're sitting ducks quite often. And we've been pleading with the legislature for the past 2 years to please do something about it. And for 2 years in a row, not one bill passed out of committee. And so all the while, we felt these small business owners were sitting ducks. But the good news is, I'll tell you, Peter, that we feel that finally, like I said, some things are getting done. People are waking up. And these small business owners, I think, finally are going to get some protection and some security and a pathway to hope here. So we've been screaming from the top of the mountain here. And that's been our biggest frustration these past few years. And finally, somebody's hearing and hearing the NFIB. So that's pretty cool.
Well, I'm only one person, but I hear you. So that's one person, right? You got to start. One person
I hear you.
It's a good start.
Thank you.
We exactly. Have to.
Yeah, we've got to go, unfortunately. You've been a great guest. We'd like to have you back on again. You're listening to the Ask Brian Radio Show on KHS 1220, 98.1 FM. Over and out.
Thank you for tuning in to the Ask Brian Radio Show. You can listen to us every Thursday on KTHS AM 1220 and FM 98.1 or via Facebook Live or anytime wherever you listen to your podcasts. Visit AskBrian.com to join the conversation and ask us your business questions, and we'll answer them on our next episode. That's AskBrian.com.